The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Such an epidemic of stupidity in the United States. It seems that Pennsylvania, that mean little country, has attacked us with a secret weapon called goof gas.
Right. One poof, you're a goof?
Yes, for the past several episodes, Boris Badenov has been shooting goof gas at America's leading smart alecks and whiskey.
And so, gentlemen, I have devised a totally new compulsive force to launch our missiles.
Yes. What is it?
It's a rubber band.
Ladies and gentlemen, for my first baritone solo this evening, I would like to sing one of my favorite arias from La La Sierra d'Amour.
It's
the horrors of war, Natasha.
Now on to the hardest part of English plan.
And that is?
We're going to take Washington.
Darling, that's not hard.
No.
Look at headline.
Boston takes Washington 7-2.
Anybody can take Washington.
Wait till next year. Come on, Natasha.
And the two villains headed off for our nation's capital. A few days later, they were in the Congressional Visitors Gallery listening to the speeches.
Mr. Chairman, I'm against all foreign aid, especially to places like Hawaii and Alaska.
I demand we increase taxes for everybody under 67.
How old are you?
68.
We've got to get the government out of government!
Well, let's go, Natasha.
Go! You're not going to squirt them with goof gas?
It's too late. Somebody beat us to it.
Then where next?
It's going to be a big surprise.
Surprise indeed, for the two no-goodnicks were headed straight for...
I said it was going to be a surprise.
They were Well, at last we found out why America's scientists, professors, and other wise guys were attacked with a case of the galloping dumbs. It was all the fault of a mean little man from a mean little country.
Go on, say the name.
Pennsylvania.
Not that name, the other name.
Oh, Boris Badenov.
Ta-da!
Yes, armed with a weapon which fired clouds of a strange substance called goof gas, Boris was lowering the nation's IQ in a hurry.
If you boys stop playing in that mother, I'll tell your father the doctor.
Lady, that is my father, the doctor.
What's more, in our last episode, Boris even managed to get a shot at Rocky and Bullwinkle. The effect on Rocky was immediate.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
But the effect on Bullwinkle was negligible.
Didn't bother me much either.
See? Shortly after that, the two villains headed south toward the nation's capital, but found their goof gas of little use.
Mr. Chairman, I propose we set up a $28 million committee to find out why the government is spending so much money.
Boris, what he said. You think he's already had some goof gas?
Natasha, what he said, that is goof gas.
Hooray!
If I didn't have this much self-esteem, how could I do this over and over again? Why? Because I am the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting. I'm the king of the web. I'm the bard of the interweb. I'm the interbard of the godnet web. I'm the vegetable man. I got a case of the galloping dumbs, as do everyone. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adjoins the title of the show. We're going to talk about what they talk about, comedy. So we'll just do it for a laugh. What the heck, right? Stay with us. I'm the only guy, the only person who can get you through the next 2 hours alive. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the network, the Cthulhu Chronicles network of fine broadcasting ideas, thoughts, emotions, and of course, broadcasts. My name is Frank Cthulhu, man's name adorns the title of the show. I couldn't believe how pertinent that little episode from the 60s, I guess it was the 60s, Jay Ward's Rocky and Bullwinkle. Boris Badenoff. I don't have to say anything. It said everything there is to say. And America has been goof juice, isn't it? Goof juice? Hey, you hear the motor running in the back? That, of course, is the fan. Even though it is a relatively, not wet? What is not humid? Inhumid. It's an inhumid evening. Although it's not so close. That's how they used to say it in where I grew up in the city. Everybody used to say, why, it's close today. Close. Something about the humidity, the stickiness, that makes it feel close. Rarely, while I was growing up, rarely have I been able to say that the words that include the expressions of people with whom I have grown up really hit the mark. But close is a great word for the when it is very humid. Never, ever do I hear it on the Weather Channel. I don't hear it on the local weather channels. I don't hear it on the national weather. And Weather Channel is a national weather channel. But even the national news does the weather when it's severe, like what happened in Iowa. Boy, my heart goes out. And what's left of it goes out to you folks in Iowa. I saw those photographs. Photographs? They were videos. Wow. It's amazing to think, you know, today, what by comparison to growing up in an analog world, houses just taken away from by tornadoes. And what did the guy say? I'm just going to say this once, okay? And those of you who are tired of me ragging on these people who abuse the English language purposely. Say, I don't abuse it purposely. I tell you, I'm always learning. But he said, what do you say on the Weather Channel? Well, it was the most tornadic weather. And tornadic weather. Tornadic weather. I think he was has a case of the galloping goofs. What did they say? Galloping dumbs? Galloping goofs? Goof? Goofs. Goof was goof juice? Goof? That would have spent $27 million to find out why the government spent so much money. You know, the simplest jokes are the best. And we hear them over and over and over again, whether you know it or not. I'm not going to spend a lot of time selling books and doing other stuff because what I have to do tonight, I wanted to do a couple of weeks ago, but by golly, that was too hot. And we canceled it. Or we ran. Yeah, we canceled the live show, ran a rerun, or we didn't do anything. I don't know, because I don't listen if I'm not here on live. And even if you're listening on the, on the live stream, I mean, okay? The first people to ever do the live stream, those people out there still doing their podcast. I'm not going to that area at all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at a list made up by any number of people who seem or say they know comedy. And I'm going to go by this list. I'm not going to give credit. And it's not mine. But considering my history in the world of comedy, I don't want to say in humor, I'm going to go through this list as many as I can. Now, there's 90 books. Imagine that. The author said, there's a list of 90 books you must, you know, you should read. If you're into comedy, I don't know, or you want to learn about comedy. No, it's not, these aren't instructory books. They're books by named people. Of course, people are named. What do you think people, how do you call them? You call them by their name. Yikes! That is a, oh man, is that, wow, that was so scary. Even though there was no way it was going to hurt me. That was a spider. Came across the top of the desk. Where did it come from? Probably from, they usually come from the ceiling. He's back there somewhere. Or he went down into the hole here. Oh boy. I told you, you're never more than 3 feet from a spider anywhere on the face of the earth. He's not after me. But it's like, how they appear, you know? It's like, he didn't know. He wasn't afraid of me. He was, oh, I gotta get over there. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, the names of these people are, most of them are personalities, not just writers of humor. I'll say that's number one. And I'm going to talk about each one of them. I've read many of them, and I know of many of them, and I know of ones that should be on the list but aren't, and we'll talk about those too. Certainly, you could learn from other people, as you must. But as we go along, let me tell you this though. These books, many of these books have been released and been published because the names of the people and the personalities and the comedians who have written them, mostly the comedians' books, which are on this list, they get to write these books because they're suddenly popular and the media is looking for ways to make money off of that name. For instance, just going to mention one because there's a book in there by Steve Martin. This is when he began, not when we found out he actually knew how to write. But, and could write seriously too. No. But when Steve Martin came to prominence, if that's popularity, it was maddening because he was everywhere and everybody wanted him to do something and make money off of the something that he did. So he had a hit record, right? But King Tut. I don't know if you remember that, the story of King Tut. The record that he made and wrote, I think he wrote it. Because King Tut, the body of King Tut at the time, it's an alliteration, was touring. Yeah. It's true. And so a publishing company, of course, came along and said, you got to write a book because if they want to hear you, they want to hear you sing, they want to hear you tell jokes, They want to see you in a movie, because then you got in a movie and a television. They're going to want to read you in the privacy of their own home or on a train or somewhere else where it's just you and Steve Martin. Now, many of the books will be written, have been written by people under those pretenses. All right. Remember, the publishing company didn't say, wow, that Steve Martin is funny. He must be a great writer. No. And they would help. They would do anything. And I'm not, I don't know. But some of these people who are, you know, write their own jokes and did whatever they did in humor, but not necessarily, on the gas of their own engine. Publishing company would get them and say, don't worry about it. Just throw us some jokes or write us some junk and we'll fix it up with editors to do that. So long as we got that name on that book, we'll sell that book. So many of these books now are, you know, they're on Amazon, they're on eBay, and they're in junk bins across the country. That's just where they wind up. I'm not saying they didn't make money or they weren't. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the books themselves. What I think of them, the ones I've read, and what I think of some of the people who wrote them and some conjecture, a supposition, I guess, about what I think they did. Now there's 90 of them, so we're going to go through some. We're going to go through them. My name is Frankie Tolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. And what else are we going to do? That's what we're going to do for the 2 hours. And wake up. It's night. I tell you all. So replenish your precious bodily fluids by getting yourself 2 or 3 liquids, whatever it is, if you are thirsty or not, because you have to make sure you do not dehydrate. You want to regenerate, not degenerate. Or you'll be a degenerate. One of these shows I'm going to do introductions. The whole show is going to be introductions to the various big places and little places where this show is heard live through the time zones. This is an idea I came up with, I think it was last week, and I remember the idea. Oh, it's still one of those days, even though it's not that hot, where, you know, I put my elbow on the desk my elbow's on the paper on the desk, and of course it picks up the paper because my elbow is the way it is there. Okay, so much for Rocky and Bullwinkle, who we love. Ready? Beat? Hey, Rocky! I like imitating them. I like doing that now, and I just do things like that when I'm alone. Which is many, 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 many hours in my life. Go buy the books, do all that stuff and everything. And, we'll, you know, if we have time afterwards, I'll make notes as I go along here. I will, I promise. But I'm going to look at this big list, and we're going to start the show right now, even before it's 30 minutes into it, because this is a huge list. 90 books every comedy fan should read. This is called the Essential Comedy Library. I'm not going to mention the people who have put this together. They're inconsequential. I will tell you this much. They are, as far as I know, not comedians. So they feel this is what you need. These are the ones you need to have and read and so what. If you're not a comedian and you want to be a comedian, certainly you can learn from these. But remember what I said. Most of them are vehicles of commercial extremes. No, that's right. Yeah, extreme commercial. No, that's wrong. They're vehicles of profit. They're prophetic. They're not prophetic or you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, more about that as we move along. So let's see what the two writers, says books have a lot going for them. They make you look smart when you read them. People leave you alone if you're reading one in public. They're cheaper than movies, and they're really a whole bunch of tweets strung together. You could tell right away, written by people of this generation. A lot of these books are not going to be from this generation. and I'm not going to tell you where to get them. Write them down. Take out your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Write down the names of the books and the authors. Go to eBay, maybe people, or go to Amazon, or go anywhere they have books, used books, not books, or maybe they're still on digital. Don't pay a lot for these books. I would imagine a lot of these books have gone to digital because, you know, it doesn't cost anything, right? You set it up, no printing, no nothing. So I imagine they're available and cheap. Not as cheap as mine. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm not going to mention, my books are not on this because I'm not an icon. And a lot of these people aren't either, but only because, comedy-wise, I don't have a name per se, and publishers don't think that that could sell. They don't care. Remember, they don't care what these people have written. Just want to sell and make more money. Now, this thing is, okay, books are very important to comedy. Listen to this. Listen to what the writer says here. Books are very important to comedy, and historically they've been the one medium that takes comedy as importantly as it should be taken in terms of history, execution, theory, and practice. Here are 90 comedy and comedy-related titles, memoirs, fiction, essay collections, interviews, TV, tie-ins, and more that a student of comedy's library simply must include. Say them. Okay? Say them. I'm not going to mention their names. So don't ask me. But if you want to ask me anything, I'm at fcatolo@yahoo.com, and thank you for writing in. Even you people who take the time to curse at me. No problem. Are they selling these books? Oh, look at that. I just saw some price things here. Look at this. You know what? This doggone thing. All right. All right. Here we are. Memoirs and autobiographies. Memoirs and autobiographies. A Heartbreaking World of Staggering Genius. The year is 2000 by Dave Eggers. Dave Eggers. Dave Eggers. I don't know Dave Eggers. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Eggers? Can't be Eggers. Let's say Eggers. Eggers is a fairly important individual in humor and letters. What with founding McSweeney's and becoming a successful novelist. Okay? All right. So this is not a stand-up guy, or this is not a guy. So this guy apparently sells books that, you know, based on his writing. His first book, however, was, this hilarious sort of memoir, or rather autobiographical novel. Excuse me. Nelly wrote it before I wrote Molotov Memoirs, but Molotov Memoirs definitely is a better title. So there. What's it say? After detailing life as a young gadabout forced to grow up fast when a tragedy leads to him raising his brother, we get back into the funny, massaged adventures of the go-for-broke Eggers, such as how he runs He runs the much-missed magazine titled Might, and unsuccessfully auditioned for The Real World. Oh, that was a show. The Real World? All right. These are not in any order, by the way. They're in categories, as I told you. Memoirs and autobiographies. Give you a moment now to write down a heartbreaking work of staggering genius or the name Dave Eggers. E-G-G-A-R-S. So there, that's him. You know, it's funny because it does say here, when I was without looking at this, and I, of course, you know, I don't read anything before I talk about it on the air. If you don't know that, then you do now. Look at this. Remember everything I told you about how much it cost and why a lot of people, again, you're going to hear a lot of these names of authors who did this stuff. Anyway, this says, apparently, $9 at Amazon. And it says it was $17. Now, 47% off. You know, this isn't a big ad, so I don't understand why. I go, okay, it's a service. They're just telling you where you can get it. Memoirs and autobiographies, that's there. Now, here's a book, this next one, here's a book I'm going to mention to you because when it came out, and I was talked about it a bit, because the author In 2016, this book came out, and he was going around talking about it like, well, it's, you know, these are memoirs, but there's stuff that happened, but they didn't and what have you. What he was doing was saying, these are Molotov memoirs. I coined that phrase. And I'm like, I'm not doing this to promote my books, although I have to. Who's going to, right? So anyway, if you haven't gotten them, you can go get Molotov Memoirs at blurb.com. There it is. Brought to you by my books, Frank Zolo. The Molotov Memoirs with art by T. Stephen Gesick, who now works the art director for Mindhunter. Watch that show. All right. So anyway, I said, based on a true story is the name of the book. It's Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald had a book. I don't know if you ever read Molotov Memoirs, and obviously I come up with an idea, and my idea is based on someone else's idea, and, you know, it just goes on and on. So I can't say that, he stole it, but I don't think he described it as well as I did. But anyway, let's go back to his book. Norm got this book deal. I don't know how, because his career is kind of floated. And he's one of the Saturday Night Live guys who was originally what? Wasn't he? I don't know if he was Second City. I don't know where he came from, to be honest with you. But he was one of the guys who did not go on to humongous stardom. So he wrote this book. Was $17. 29% off now. It's $12. Hey, Norm's got to eat, you know? And it says here, comedians and comedy nerds love Norm. But why? It might be because he sarcastically and boldly ignores the rules, like regular joke rhythms or not being polite. He once told an actress, lousy with typos. The interweb is lousy with typos. He once told an actress on Late Night that her terrible movie was terrible. As such, Norm takes his own approach to the stand-up memoir, turning it into something that's painfully true and also preposterously not true, but delivered with Norm's familiar deadpan. Keeps you guessing, like, did he really bring out morphine and a syringe during the SNL audition? We don't know. But you want to know. How did I, was I really me, Frank Attola, was I really babysat by Marilyn Monroe? Find out with Molotov Memoirs. I just realized I could do commercials for my books with every one of these. Okay. You're listening to, Molotov Memoirs. You're listening to Cattolo Chronicles. I don't mind making this into a shameless bit that continually promotes my books, because this is what I have to do with these books. Maybe in the future there'll be other books I don't have to do with that'll be done for me. Maybe they won't be comedy. Doesn't matter. My point is, I have to do this. This is my show. I promote my books. I sell them. I thank the people who buy them, because people buy them. Okay? But I just have not been invited to Tonight Show, Tomorrow Show, The Yesterday Show, all shows, or any shows to promote them, because that's the way these things go. Let's go to the next one. Ooh, look at that. 40% off. Okay. Here's a 2007 book by the one and only Steve Martin. Born Standing Up by Steve Martin. Now, this book, 2007 Steve Martin book, I'm not reading from the text here. I'm just telling you, because we're eventually going to find Steve Martin's first book, which was the commercial vehicle for the stand-up comedy. This is 2007. Right? This time, you know, he's writing memoirs. There's a memoirs. This is the category memoirs, and right? Okay, including all entertainment memoirs, not just comedy people, is Steve Martin's, and not just because of Martin's unsurprisingly beautiful prose. Unlike most memoirs, it seems to convey a clear-eyed honesty as Martin seeks to demythologize his own life, one that the rest of us have so mythologized. See? And this goes right into what I was saying. You know, people with the legendary Steve Martin. Okay, legend, hero, genius. These are the three most overused descriptive words for people. So, he demythologizes his own life. I didn't read this because I just don't have time. 2007, huh? Okay, specifically his days in the 1970s when he was a stadium-filling stand-up comic. He even calls it a biography and not an autobiography because he's, quote, writing about someone I used to know, unquote. He's so honest with himself and the reader that he explains why it is he quit comedy to pursue acting, art, and writing. The reader understands. $10 on Amazon. Now, I think that more than even my book, because I don't have the kind of show business experience that he has. I have my show business experience, but not Steve Martin. So Steve Martin, this is a good book, and if I could get it, just move the microphone. I would read this if somebody would send it to me. Maybe I'll put it on my wish list. You know what I have to do? I have nothing but a wish list. Well, I do have one. I have one on my page. Nobody ever sent me a book. I've sent people books, you know. You get the link, you know, digital books. My books, I mean. I've done that. What the heck, right? This is $10 at Amazon. Let's see, what was it? That's $10. It was $17. Now it's 41% off. Born Standing Up by Steve Martin. Now, this $4 book that was $9, 56% off. This is where we're at in terms of commercial type stuff. Bossy Pants by Tina Fey, 2011. Now, look, Tina Fey is a talented person. We all know that. She's a talented actress. She's written things, and your own opinion of her is your opinion of her. I have never really seen, excuse me, this is all the coffee that is like, right? And some of the pork I had for dinner. Tina Fey, the first female head writer of Saturday Night Live, and a very talented and funny person. There's no doubt about it. And she rose to stardom for Saturday Night Live. And then had a couple of movies that did great, and then started to not do well with movies. And she had that TV show, which for all due purposes was, where do you come up with that idea? Let's see, a comedy show starring one guy, and it takes place in Rockefeller Center. Tina, how long did that take? Well, I'm being satirical, but that's okay. So Tina, and I think you could see that this was $9, this book, and now it's $4, 56% off. I think you could see that this book did not sell. But Tina Fey was able to get the book deal based on her being Tina Fey. And still being a personality, she'll always work, she'll do stuff. Okay, that's fine. But it says here, you can't be Tina Fey, but you can get close to understanding what it's like to be Tina Fey, whose rise seems both hard and easy, probably because she is Tina Fey, and equipped with the life, managerial, and comedic skill to do so and make it look easy. Or, at least, make hard work look fun. That's a long and disturbing sentence. Constantly interrupting herself with jokey but relevant life advice. She says this talent, this is a quote from the book, talent isn't sexually transmitted, unquote. And self-deprecating one-liners, Faye charts her rise from Pennsylvania nerd to Chicago improv comedian and employee of the city's creepiest YMCA up through SNL, 30 Rock, and Motherhood. I would say that some of this, I like biographies, by the way, and I read biographies, not just of, I don't read a lot of comedic people's biographies, unless they are, really historically set into, I'm not going to say legends, historically embedded into the history of comedy, but I imagine some of this is funny. And then later on, if we get to the book, if it's not on, they're going to write it down here. I will tell you one that I was really surprised about when I read it. And I don't remember how I got it. Someone gave it to me. So I don't buy these things. And this, okay. But there's Tina Fey. Okay. So I imagine there's a couple of laughs in there, but, it's $4 at Amazon. Okay. I think it's a digital prices. I don't know. You'll have to look that up. Daddy's Boy by Chris Elliott, 1989. Now, I talked about Chris Elliott, when I was doing the radio show, the show about personality, personality's disappearance in radio, because I mentioned his father and I played some of his father's funny routines from radio. His father, who I knew about long before there was a Chris Elliott, because he's younger than I am or what have you. Known as the guy under the stairs on Late Night with David Letterman. You remember that from, if you don't, or you do. The 30-something paper boy on Get a Life. Was he, what? I don't even know that. See, he had a spot and I didn't know it. I didn't know that. Okay, and the cabin boy in Cabin Boy is another guy who got a movie deal and gone. Let me see how that look, what that looked like on the scope. Is that a scope? What is that called anyway? The graphic scope. Okay, has written a few fake nonfiction titles such as Into Hot Air about his disastrous, not real ascent of Mount Everest. So he's writing funny stuff. But the innovative meta-comedian wrote an actual, mostly truthful book with Daddy's Boy. This book, Daddy's Boy, as the subject is too real. It's about growing up and forging one's own identity and the voice in the wake of phenomenally successful parents in the same business. After all, he's the son of Bob Elliott, as I told you, of the classic comedy duo Bob and Ray. It's a rare book that's also self-accountable, because after every chapter Chris Elliott delivers, Bob Elliott gets his own rebuttal chapter. That's a wonderful, forward by David Letterman. You know, that was really good. I didn't know about this book, but I'm going to write it down. Going to try to see if I could somehow get a copy of it. I would like to read this, because Bob Elliott is ingrained in the history of comedy and the media. So Daddy's Boy by Chris Elliott. This must be, okay. And as I said, so there you go. $12 at Amazon, Daddy's Boy. Irma Bombeck, 1996, this book, Forever Irma. Irma Bombeck was let's see what it says here too, because she was kind of like, what's that guy's name? Burry? Dave Burry? I wonder if he's going to show up here. There's 90 books. Dave Burry's got to show up somewhere, right? Because he sells 50 zillion books. And he is a humor writer. He doesn't do stand-up. Why am I talking about him? I should be talking about Irma Bombeck. For the most of us, our comedy education all started with the same thing. Sesame Street, listen to this. You hear this? This is the youth of these authors. See, for most of us, it's the writer, not me. Okay, comedy education all started with the same thing. Sesame Street, whatever comedy albums our parents had lying around, and whatever funny books were on our parents' bookshelves. Say, these authors. For me, this author, because my parents are old, that meant the complete works of Irma Bombeck. Books with titles such as If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, Why Am I Stuck in the Pits? And other now tired aphorisms. That's aphorisms, okay? Wanna look it up? Not afro. Okay? Okay, but come on, if you want a complete and exhaustive comedy library, you have to include the greats that maybe didn't age well, but which paved the way for today's comedy section at the bookstore, which is an essay, a collection of comedians, columnists, and for some reason, YouTube stars. But you know what? Irma Bombeck had these books, but these books came from columns like Art Buchwald's. I don't know if he's on the list either. I'm going to start moving along here, too, because I don't think we're going to make 90 books. And this is part one. I don't even know if I'm going to do a part two. So anyway, Irma Bombeck from 1996. This is not available at all, by the way. Oh, yes, it is. $8 at Amazon. Amazon. It doesn't say what it did cost. Irma Bombeck. That's B-O-M-B-E-C-K. I say that, and you write it down in your book if you're young and don't know her. Rachel Drack. Did I say her name right? We all know her. Rachel Drack. $11 was 16, now 31% off. She wrote a book called, in 2012, Girl Walks Into a Bar. It deals a lot with something that arts and entertainment books don't touch too much. Disappointment and the abrupt end of glory. For example, Dratch went from an epic run on SNL to being cast as Jenna on old scene partner Tina Fey's 30 Rock, okay? And was replaced after the pilot. Life doesn't go where you think it's going to go, which is another theme of this book, which ultimately becomes a sweet and lovely story about second chances and unexpected joy. Dratch meets a guy and has an unplanned baby late in her childbearing years. This is probably okay. I mean, I don't think it's long and gigantic, and it doesn't take much time. But comedy, calamities, dating disasters, and a midlife miracle. And as I was saying with Norm Macdonald, because that's where she fell, he falls into that category. You know them, you see them, they pop up in shows and what have you, but they didn't make it into the Will Ferrell Hall of Fame comedy or the... we're not even going to mention him. Well, we know we're going to see Adam Sandler, the greatest phenomena of all phenomena. And look up the word. I'm not giving him any great accolades or endorsement by saying that. He is a phenomena. But anyway, go on, they move on here to the next one. Nora Ephron, I Feel Bad About My Neck by Nora Ephron. Now, Nora Ephron has written a number of screenplays. You know them. I don't think she was ever a stand-up. She is a legitimate writer. She sold books, and she didn't get books on a commercial deal to sell books, although she got more mileage out of writing because she wrote movies like When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, and she did some directing. Okay, Ephron was never not candid. That's a double negative. We don't need that in these days, right? Yes. Ephron was always candid. I don't know why. But she never held back anything. Any tragedy, indignity, embarrassment, or personal triumph was fodder for her many books because everything is copy, as she reportedly said and clearly did. Everything is copy. There's another nice thing. I'm going to write this down. See, I keep, as you should, everything, because I'm a writer. Everything is copy. I've heard that and attributed to her too, but I'm only now remembering it. Nora Ephron, I'll take it. In addition to wonderful comedy scripts on that, but Ephron mined her private life, mined, M-I-N-E-D, mined like a mine, you know, like a gold mine. This one, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and I remember her writing when this came out and talking about writing it. It was right before, this is her last book because she died. And it's about her own experiences with aging, menopause, and empty nest syndrome, along with favorite topics of food in New York and universal approaches to the art of dying. I haven't read this, but I recommend it. Nora Ephron. I See You Made an Effort by Annabelle Gurwitch, 2014. I heard this was a big book, but I didn't read it, and I don't know Annabelle Gurwitch. A lot of comedian memoirs about the past and childhood. Gurwitch chose to write about the less than perfect present and the future. She's been hosting shows and acting in things for more than 20 years, and she also wrote this gritty self-deprecating memoir, Coming to Terms with the Specter of Middle Age, La La La, $11 at Amazon. Here's a book I've talked to you about many, many times. Here's a writer I've talked to you about many, many times, who was also a broadcaster and indubitable. Indubitable. I just want to use that word. It's just been going around a lot. And a thick influence to me as a radio speaker. The book is called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. It's by Gene Shepherd, 1966. This would be on my list if you haven't read any of these stories that I believe were originally published in Playboy, and they include the stories that made the famous, now famous Christmas movie called A Christmas Story, which he narrated and wrote the screenplay. Gene Shepard has passed away. $12 at Amazon. You get 20% off on that one. Good one. Here's one. Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me by Mindy Kaling, 2011. Don't know her. She's apparently, who is she? Oh, she was in the, she wrote and starred for The Office. See, I'm not a big Office fan, and I don't know her. She published this. Wait, she starred on, she published this, the first of two books of chatty, freewheeling essays on her life and worldview. I'll let you be the judge of that one. Next, Nell Scovell in 2018 wrote Just the Funny Parts. Scovell has been writing for TV for decades. She wrote for Murphy Brown. She was on the staff of David Letterman. The Simpsons, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She created that. And NCIS. Well, this is a memoir of her. This is kind of a, well, this is not a Molotov memoir. A lot, most of this stuff is right on the money true. Endearing look at a culture of a TV's writer's room. While they aren't, and that's it. Her name is Nell Scovell. Scovell? Scovell. See, lots of these people are writing books because they're writers. They're basically writers. She did not get this book out into the public because they thought it would sell no matter what. Okay. $19 in Amazon. I imagine there are some wonderful parts in that. Let's Pretend This Never Happened by Jenny Lawson, 2012. This isn't the best title. Isn't that just the best title for a memoir? Let's Pretend This Never Happened. Everybody seems to be in my territory. I've not read these things and what have you, and yet this goes to show you that many comedians think alike and have the same inspirations. Inspirations? Inspired by? Influences also. Jenny Lawson. This is $13 at Amazon. Okay, so she's a why? What did she do? This is the stories about writers sharing mortifying and fascinating events from their lives, whatever. So there. I don't know what to tell you about that. David Sedaris, Me Talk Pretty One Day in the year 2000, America's favorite NPR hero. Well, okay, he's an NPR hero. Hello, again, hero, overused. Next, NPR, the National Pretentious Broadcasting, remember that? Pretentious Radio, National Pretentious Radio. All right, you want to read that, you read that. David, I'm glad you had a job with them. We don't like them. Naked by David Sedaris. He's got two books here. And this one really made him famous. Like, I know him. I don't know him. Not that you have to, I have to know you and that makes you famous. And this was while almost every single song on the album, this is an album? What is this? No, this is a book. In the sense, Naked is one of David Sedaris' stories you'll bring up when people start talking about him. Well, they don't talk about him, so I don't know what to tell you. Greek guy, he grew up Greek. There's probably a lot of funny stories at $10 at Amazon. One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter by, oh boy, Scotchy Cool. K-O-U-L. I don't know this person either. Cool is one of the funniest people online. Oh, now we've gone to online, but this is not historically yet embedded. Of course, he's written for Jezebel and the New Yorker. La-di-da. He got something into the New Yorker. And her, oh my goodness, it's a woman. I don't know that name as a feminine. S-C-A-A-H-I-C-H-I. The last name is Cool. If I'm saying it correctly, I don't even know. What is it like to grow up in Calgary, Alberta, as well as the daughter of parents who emigrated from India? So she's got some cultural stuff there. $12 at Amazon. Okay. Sleepwalk With Me by Mike Birbiglia. Someone told me about this guy. I don't know him or I saw him somewhere. He's not old. This is a 2012 book. It's $10 at Amazon. Having a harrowing sleep issue changed Mike Birbiglia's life, and so did writing about it. This is, I'm quoting this right now. Dude wrote what he knows and the story of his journey to sleep help, which includes falling through a window at a La Quinta. Okay. dude. Okay, Mike, if I could see his face, anyway, $10. If you know him and you like him and you can't live without him, go get him. Here's someone I like, and I have not read this, but I know she's funny because she's brave, bravely funny. Sarah Silverman, 2010, The Bedwetter. Silverman's memoir covers what you'd think it would cover, and in her distinctive voice, her comedy career, her influences, her style, and the differences between her real self and semi-fictionalized, gently shocking stage persona. The title of the book, isn't merely an attention getter. Or meant to provoke, she recounts a very long struggle with juvenile bedwetting. Stories of courage, redemption, and pee. The Bedwetter. $12 on Amazon. Hey, this is 2010. Oh, 18. It's already 8 years old. The Egg and I by Betty McDonald. The Egg and I. 1945. God bless you writers and reviewers for looking deep into comedy history. I hope they come up with some others. We don't know, because it's already 51 minutes into the show, and I don't know if we're going to get to 90 at this rate. The Egg and I by Betty McDonald, 1945. It's best known for Mrs. Piggly Wiggly, Miss McDonald, the series of children's books. This was published about the same time she got married and moved out of metropolitan Seattle to a chicken farm in rural Washington. It's the probably the original outsider tries crazy things and writes memoirs about it book. And what's really good about it also is it's 1945. Okay, kids, youngsters, millennials, stop crying over Little Peep and get to reading. Okay? Some people who are dead left much more behind. That's not to say I want Little Peep dead. I don't know Little Peep. I only learned about him when he died. And I'm sorry he died. He shouldn't have died. But you should move on and go back to history. History. I wonder if any comedians really like Little Peep, or if that's... I don't even know. Okay. This was a hit movie, too, if you ever get to see it on one of those channels there. Oh, gosh, here's more. The Idiot Girls Action Adventure Club by Laurie Notaro, 2002. Laurie Notaro. This is a feet-dragging, booze-soaked journey from out-of-control young adult to slightly less out-of-control young adult. Lots of drinking, getting mistaken for homeless person, blah, blah, blah. It's called The Idiot Girls Action Adventure Club. If anybody, if I'm going fast. Quickly, I'm going quickly through this list and nowhere near the end of it. And so maybe we will pick it up in another show. But I want everybody, anybody and everybody out there, if you remember anything or just jotted down a name or something, escatolo@yahoo.com. I will freshen your memory. Or you can listen to the show again at juicedtalk.com, and then you could stop and go and stop and go and stop and go. You could stream it, stop and go. Okay. Plus the show is of course rebroadcast on many stations throughout the next week. So wherever you hear it or what have you, but, so if you forget something or want to know something, a name of a book or the name of an author or something went on that you didn't catch or missed, I write fcatolo@yahoo.com, and I'll get it to you. The thing that catches me here, there's lots of drinking, mistake, blah, blah, blah. Many, Notaro is more or less a likable, funny, more populist Charles Bukowski. I'll leave that at that. Walking in Circles Before Lying Down by Merle Marco. She was David Letterman's love life person, I guess, for a long time. She came up with View a Male, Stupid Human Tricks, Stupid Pet Tricks, and she was on there for a long time. And she wrote this book, which is her love for dogs. Essays about why dogs are wonderful and silly. She wrote this great comic novel about the curative powers of doggos. And puppers. Doggos and puppers is what dogs and pups? Oh, boy. $12 at Amazon. Well, you could find that out for yourself. Will Not Attend by Adam Resnick. The name sounds familiar. 2014, a book of self-loathing and misanthropy from Resnick. Chris Elliott's longtime collaborator who co-wrote Cabin Boy and Get a Life. Oh, okay. And I know him from somewhere. I don't see a picture of him here. Resnick speaks on behalf of seething antisocial comedians everywhere, explaining and dismissing his quirks. Oh, knocking into his mic. You see, it's so awkwardly placed here that you don't know and don't care about and doesn't matter. Dismissing his quirks with lots of memories of childhood, such as horrible, no good, very bad Easter egg hunts. Ta-da-da, $12 at Amazon. Adam Smith. Carrie Fisher, Wishful Drinking. Carrie Fisher's first book, which was made into, I don't know why that's not here yet, Postcards from the Edge, has some hilarious parts in it. I'm giving you my endorsement on that. This is called Wishful Drinking, 2008. She's talking about, but Fisher was born to a writer, to be a writer. And she was a very good writer. Working as a punch-up artist and script doctor in untold films and everywhere. Do you know that? The people do that. They're punch-up artist. Yeah. Punch this up, will you? That's it. Hey, here's a routine I have. Punch it up. You know, I've done some punch-up work with, speeches for corporate guys. They said, like, can you put a couple of things in here, punch them up, you know? And they hire people to punch up for comic relief in movies, so you get paid for that stuff. And a script doctor. You can be a little bit more serious with that, okay? So she passed away, of course, last year. Wishful Drinking. This is about along with Postcards from the Edge, this is Fisher's most vital, soul-bearing, and charmingly self-deprecating collection. So there you go. Amy Poehler wrote a book. I don't know where this book wound up. It's called Yes, Please. She's probably shaped today's comedy more than anybody else. This is what they say. She shaped today's comedy. And they use today in comedy, capital today and capital T, capital C. Isn't that something? She made NSL a better place to work and better in general. She anchored Parks and Recreation. Comedy defied conventional wisdom. And then in this book, Yes, Please, we finally get to hear how Poehler made it all happen. Do we need to do that? She invented the Upright Citizens Brigade and blah, 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 blah. Amy, good for you. $10 at Amazon. Jesse Klein, You'll Grow Out of It. Inside Amy Schumer was marvelous, but it always felt a bit different from her stand-up comedy. Tone and content-wise. That's because in addition to Schumer's ideas, this is by Jesse Klein. The show benefited from the input of head writer Jesse Klein. Okay, she was the head writer of Inside as Amy Schumer that helped Amy Schumer get to the top there, and then to coast along where she does now. Telling a fantastic story in a finite amount of time. She did what? So there's Jesse Klein. That's $11. Boy, we're not even out of here. $10. You're not doing it right. Michael Ian Black, 2012. I don't know how he got this book, but that's none of my business. Black sheds his arrogant Hollywood big shot persona. Really? Really? He has a... Really? Black is like most writers and comedians, and is crippled with self-doubt and inability. Well, yeah. Or at least a fear of an inability to do most things. The essays track Black writing the thin line between getting by and failure. See, when they take this stuff seriously, I know it's gotta be okay. Patton Oswalt, Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, 2011. I can't believe how many new books are here by comparison, these 2000 books. We have only met one book from 1945 so far, but we're just in this area here. Memoirs and autobiographies. Oh, let me tell you right now that the name of the show is Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show as we go into the second and final hour of this Y2K plus 18 show of Cthulhu Chronicles. We have, let me just tell you this. I don't know what happens next week, but on April 2nd, April, whoa. The A, right? There's only two A's, right? August and April. August 2nd, Olympia LaPointe, author, rocket scientist, will be on the show from Skype. And that'll be fun. Okay, and that's all I know right now. I have other things I'm working on, but, you know, we'll get into it somehow. Patton Oswalt has done some absolutely wonderful stand-up stuff. I saw a couple of shows he did that are just good. He also includes some short comic books, a story about a lackluster vampire. What is it? These are essays about his youth and teen years in Virginia. Patton Oswalt. $12 at Amazon. I don't like commercials in here, huh? Albert Brooks, 2011. It's called 2013 by Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks, I don't know if he has earlier books. I don't know if he wrote anything because he writes screenplays and stuff, but of course this is one of the greats of the 60s era, you know, and again, he wrote this book in 2011. This was unexpected, a caustic and thorough indictment of baby boomer entitlement written by one of baby boomer's most important and original comic voices. That's true. Albert Brooks, having excelled at short films, directing films, acting in films, and comedy albums, successfully gives the very dark comic novel a shot with 2030 set in a not very distant future. So it's a good book, and you know it's going to be funny and smart funny from Albert Brooks, whose real name is Albert Einstein. So you know it's going to be smart, right? A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole, 1980. We're going back here. I don't know John Kennedy Toole. I should, 1980. The story of this New Orleans adorning a picaresque novel even came to be almost as good as the story of the novel itself. Toole couldn't get the thing published when he wrote it in the 60s, and depression eventually got the best of him, and he committed suicide. It's this book. I know I heard of this book. Oh, my goodness. That's right. Now I know of the guy, not of his name, but what happened. He went into incredible depression, committed suicide. His mother carried on the dream and took the book and finally got it published. And it went on to win a Pulitzer Prize for fiction. This is one of the other reasons never to commit suicide. Although depression, I don't know how, you know, again, I don't know. I have no idea what that feels like to get to that point where you literally do something about it. Like, you know, ending your life. Oh, my goodness. A Confederacy of Dunces. Ay, ay, ay. Yes, I haven't read it. No, I heard about it, and it's $10, and it pops up somewhere. I'll get it. Big Trouble by Dave Barry, 1999. This is the guy who does, you know, columns. He's worked in Florida. He still has a Florida-based newspaper, believe it or not, column. He's written so many books, it's unbelievable. I wouldn't count them, and they must sell. This is Big Trouble 1999. They point this one out. It's very cinematic, or even Seinfeldian. Oh, Seinfeldian. Well, in the way that the book's huge cast of characters lives also. Blah, 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 blah. Dave Barry, you can look him up. He's got a website and everything. You can get whatever it is. Blah, blah. Carry On Jeeves by P.J. Wodehouse. Thank you. 1925, P.J. Wodehouse, who, of course, one of the Algonquin, I don't know how many there were in the crowd, the Algonquin crowd, the most influential creative writers in my fledgling career, but Wodehouse is Carry On Jeeves. All of his collections of this guy, this character, it's just amazing. Yeah, anything you get with, it's Wodehouse. Anything by P.J. Wodehouse, and I'm glad they picked Find Their Forever Set. An idealized early 20th century England where the stratified class system dominated cultural life. You learn a lot of stuff from these period books, okay, you learn a lot of history. Because they were written at a time that you don't know about. So therefore, you learn about the places at the same time you are amused and blessed with the brilliance of some incredible thinkers. P.J. Wodehouse. Okay, here we go. Oh, look at this. Joseph Heller's Catch-22 is on here, 1961. Yes, It is another comedy, 61, another comedy with deep roots in history and the times. You know it. If you've seen the movie, okay, fine. How about this? Cat's Cradle, Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut, as a comedy writer, is, you know, a little science fiction, a little comedy, a little what have you. You might know about him already, and you might know of and have read some of the books. I didn't like this particular one, but, Breakfast of Champions and various others. Kurt Vonnegut is certainly someone you should look into one way or the other. I love this one. I love this one. Are you ready? Because I could really stick it to you on this one. Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes, 1615. Listen to this. One of the oldest novels, first published in the early 1600s, that's still widely read. This Spanish classic has got to be the oldest comic novel in existence and one that provided many archetypes of Western comedy. And it is and has been rewritten by me, and the very nature of this book, in the book that is available at Amazon by me, Man of La Mancha. Not Mancha, which is him, Man of La Mancha, which is based on Don Quixote's themes. And in a way, the very nature of one of the two books that were Don Quixote, because they were volumes. But don't go for the movie. It stunk. The musical stunk, even though you might walk around and love to sing The Impossible Dream. Don Quixote, Quixote, and Man of La Mancha. If you read, I apologize to myself because I hear it in my headphones and I'm jolted. But I'm excited to see Don Quixote on this list and to be able to tell you that if you're going to read this, read my book first. It's cheap. It's $2.99 on Amazon. You put just a digital thing. You put it on your phone or your phone Kindle or your Kindle phone or your PDF or whatever it is. Stop hitting the mic. And you get it. And then read Don Quixote. You'll get a better idea. Because remember, this was written in the 1600s and the English. It's translated. It's according to what book you get, what translation you get, to find out how different, they're different from one thing to the other. If you go to the Amazon Man of La Mancha, M-A-N-T-R-A, by Frank Catolo, if you go and read the review by the Spanish literature teacher on there of the book, a man who knows Don Quixote better than anyone, buy my book, read my book, and then read Don Quixote. And you will learn about comedy and be enlightened by comedy as never before. Okay, now, Election by Tom Perrotta, 1998. Don't know this. One of the funniest political and high school novels ever written. Tom Perrotta. Okay, I'm going to move on. I never was able to read this book, but if you want to, it's on the list. Tom Robbins, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. This was so big with the LSD crowd in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. I don't know why. I don't know. The movie stunk, and I couldn't get through the book. But that's me. You may like it. He's almost like one of the great macho man American novelists, they say, here. And yet, in a self-conscious style that's backed up by the choice to write warmly and affectionately about quirky people. So, I don't know. It's $13, 24% off. A lot of these were $17, huh? To start. Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop by Fannie Flagg. Fannie Flagg, this is 1987, but Fannie Flagg goes back to the 60s and 70s. A wonderful comedian and a writer. And this is a funny one. If you ever saw Fried Green Tomatoes, which was a darn good little movie, I think it was okay. That comes from this New York Times bestseller. It's a very commercial and wonderful little book. Which it's $9. It was $10, so I took a dollar off of it. How about this? Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. I have no idea. 1990, simple story of a birth of an Antichrist, Armageddon, and angel. Simple story, right? Okay. Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. You know, if they decided to write 90 books, or did they say, well, you know, we want to put the top, on 100, but they went to 90. We want to put the, why didn't they do the top 20, top 50? I don't know. It says here, what does it say? Written in tandem by two of the most beloved English genre authors, fiction authors of all time. Ha! Ha!
And I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm just a regular guy. How he became a famous novelist? 2009 by Steve Helly. I don't know him. It's Healy, but it's Helly, H-E-L-Y? I have no idea. Oh, he was a writer for 30 Rock in the Office. Well, uh-huh. Go read it. Lucky Jim by Kingsley Amis. Wow, this is really strange. Kingsley Amis. I know of him. Of course, he's in the 50s. He was a very commercial writer, and he wrote a lot of books. And back when the academic scene was stuffy, comic novels that poked holes in the stuffy academic scene were a viable literary subgenre, exemplified by Lucky Jim, this book about Jim Dixon, a history lecturer at a small British college. ... Anything you could read, okay, from the 50s pack and older, in terms of a comedy drama, now they call it dramedy, I don't know, or comedra, whatever. No, you can't do it the other way around, is going to be good, even going back to the 1600s, okay? Once you get into the 60s, and once you move past the beatnik era and get into, you know, what, the British invasion years and stuff and the LSD years, things are really going to change, and it's going to really be tough to find anything but timely comedy, okay? And it starts to break up a little bit in the 70s and 80s, but that's my opinion too. Christopher Buckley, No Way to Treat a Lady. Oh, No Way to Treat a First Lady. Okay, you find it. I don't know. Find it if you want to read it. $16. The Comedy Writer by Peter Farrelly. Now, of course, the Farrelly brothers. Peter Farrelly, a semi-autobiographical novel, tells the story of a Boston nobody with a can-do attitude who tries to make it big as a screenwriter in Hollywood with many near misses, abject failures, and indignities along the way. Of course, he is possible. He is part of a brother team, a sibling team, that created such things as Dumb and Dumber, and There's Something About Mary, those various movies, and there's other ones too. He calls the book The Comedy Writer. Didn't know about it. 1998, so that goes back there too. Douglas Adams, Ultimate Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. People swear by this book. I don't know what to tell you. I don't like it, but it's one of them they say you should read. The Princess Bride, of course. People don't know this. A lot of people don't know this was a book. 1973. William Goldman wrote it. Most people think it was just this wonderful movie that they love, and they give all the credit to Rob Reiner. But it's different, you know, to read the book. It's so if you want to, you can read the book and find out. Jack Handy, The Stench of Honolulu. Jack Handy. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. You gotta love him, I hate him, but it's brand, it's 2013. This guy writes, wrote for Saturday Night Live and had that, Jack Handy, things that he said. Well, it says here, the guy who gave Saturday Night Live deep thoughts, Twitter, of which Twitter is complete and total ripoff, in a sense. Yeah, okay. But not really. So there's, he wrote this book. Which is what, as well as his, and he's written so many, The New Yorker. He became a New Yorker love child. They loved him. The love child of The New Yorker, you know, of but anyway, I don't know him. I don't know of him, and I don't know how he exists, although they pay well. But, you might want to look through it first. I don't know. I'm just telling you. The Thurber Carnival, 1960, James Thurber. Do you want to read any? You know what they've done to his short story, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. What's been done to that story? Overdone, just ruined, and rewritten and done and made into anything just to use the name? I don't know. But to read the original James Thurber is, of course, a pleasure. And you can learn a lot more from that than you could from the Norm Macdonald stuff. Again, from 1960. don't confuse it with the 60s, because it's not. James Thurber was around before that. And, you know, he drew his own black ink drawings on a lot of his stuff, and he was near blind. I guess he dictated. I don't know. You could read more about him. He's written plays and everything, tons of things. Okay, so he writes, sorry. The Time Machine Did It by John Swartzwelder, 2004. He is one of the all-time great Simpson writers, says these artists. If you want to read a guy wrote a book and you don't, but you might like him only in the context. I don't know. That's what happens with a lot of these things, you know? They say, well, this guy did this. And they just say, yeah, well, you know, I like that, but I don't like this. So I'm like, taking a lot of these people out of the context of what you like, of the work that they've done that you like, is tough. But it might be better. Welcome to Night Vale by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Cranor, 2017. Bizarre, spooky, spooktacular universe of the podcast. Wow. Already things about podcasts. I know nothing about it, but there's the name of it. Remember, fcatola@yahoo.com. If I skip over something, go really fast, quickly through something, and you go, well, I'm interested in that one. Write to me, and I'll tell you which one it is. What in God's Name by Simon Rich, 2012. I don't know about this at all. What is it? Who is he? Simon Rich is who? Clever, something familiar, and then, I don't know. What in God's Name is about the only time it's been pulled off free of cringiness or clumsiness? God has checked out corporate. I don't know. I don't know anything about this one. So What in God's Name is a book they think. Maria Semple. I wonder if she's related to Mr. Semple. I saw his name today. Because they were rerunning the odd James Bond movie, the odd one, the one where Sean Connery came back, but not as he came back as Bond, but not while the Roger Moore was already Bond. And Lorenzo Semple, that's his name, Lorenzo Semple Jr. was a screenwriter. Is she related to him? I don't know. The name Semple does find its way into the credits of many media things, TV shows. I don't know about it. Anyway, Maria Semple, 2012. Maybe she's a great-granddaughter or something. $9 at Amazon. Josh Karp. I don't know him. It's about a futile and stupid gesture. This is about, what is this? You've probably seen the National Lampoon documentary called this. It's an adaptation of a book starring Will Forte. As Doug Kenny. Doug Kenny, I've talked to you about Doug Kenny. He's one of the founders of the National Lampoon. And I talked to you about him because he came to my college and gave, back when the National Lampoon was really hot. That would be the 70s. That would be, yes. Hello, early 70s. Apparently, I didn't know about this. There's a book, based on, is this a movie? Wait a second. You've probably seen the National Lampoon documentary or seen the movie adaptation of this book starring Will Forte. Okay, played it. This book is the centerpiece of the quantification of the National Lampoon in comedy history. At one time, it was the most popular and important humor brand in America, comprising film, of course, you know, Animal House, a radio show, I'm not even getting into that, but a radio show that was in, forget about it, a live show, and of course, a magazine. This is the story of Doug Kenny, who helped and who fell apart, and let anyone say fall apart. They say fell apart. That's where I got the phrase. The despair-driven, cutting satire of Doug Kenny, a story. He died in a climbing accident. Right? A climbing accident, right? You just don't get a lot of people. I don't know. Maybe there are more people than we think. Doug Kenny, a satirist. And I see Will Forte playing him. I haven't seen. I like this. You've probably seen the National Lampoon documentary, Netflix. Yeah, I don't even get a lot of this stuff. I don't do a lot of this stuff. So what do I know? So there's something that I would learn about here too. American Cornball by Christopher Miller, 20, 13, a 500-page reference book with entries arranged in alphabetical order written by a college professor. This is a deep sociological dive into the American psyche of the early 20th century. And it's funny, I don't know anything about this one, but there it is. American Cornball, okay? And Here's the Kicker by Mike Sachs, 2009. Sachs is a McSweeney's all-star. I guess McSweeney's must have been this... should I have known of this place? Was it a comedy theater? Comedy store? Comedy theater? Comedy store? Comedy... What are they place? Is it a comedy shop? I don't even know what they call them anymore. I don't know. But here you go. He uncannily asks exactly about Sacha Baron Cohen, Buck Henry, and Adam McKay. Buck Henry with Sacha Baron Cohen and Adam McKay? I wouldn't put them together there. Sarah Vowell? I'll bet you... No, I'm not going to make any comment about it. Assassination Vacation. Oh, she's an NPR contributor and frequent Conan guest. Violet Parr. Well, there it is. It's $9. You want to read it and you know her? Good. Do it. I'm not keeping count of how many I went through here. Scott Saul wrote a book called Becoming Richard Pryor in 2014. Memoirs are good, but biographies offer amazing insights. Richard Pryor never wrote a book about himself. So here you go. Most people know about Pryor's filthy mouth incendiary heyday of the 70s, but this author, Scott Soule's examination of the mysterious period in which Pryor dropped out of the spotlight and decided he was going to be a truthful, edgy comic, is both compelling and inspiring. I have told my story. I'm going on here. Forget about me. Okay? Comedy on the Edge. Excuse me. It's still coming up a bit. By the way, my name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show, this is Cotolo Chronicles. I'm moving so quickly. Which is okay. I'm not going to stop on some of these books. I have no idea what they are or why I should talk about them. And I don't know of them, but I'm letting you know about them through this list. And we do have less than 44 minutes left here. We have 30-something minutes left of the show. So we've gotten this far. We're going to continue and go through as many as we can. Comedy at the Edge by Richard Zoglin, 2008. Zoglin covers approximately the same period as I'm dying up here, both in L.A. and New York. I don't get that. I'm dying up here was a show that Jim Carrey put together, or series or documentary or what have you. But in L.A., I read about the careers of stand-up George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Robert Klein, later Steve Martin, Albert Brooks, Robin Williams, and Andy Kaufman as they took the stage at the Comedy Store. So this guy's writing a book. My glasses are hurting the back of my ears, which only happens when there's sweat involved. Hear the fan? That's the engine. That's what keeps this going here. That's why you're not hearing a rerun. Dangerously Funny by David Biancooley, 2009, a collective image of the Smothers Brothers to a non-baby boomer, sweater-clad brother act. Oh, boy. Yes, Dangerously Funny. I don't know about this, but I know a lot about the brothers, and of course lived through their careers. So if you are a baby boomer, or you're not a baby boomer, but if you're not a baby boomer, again, although the book is 2009, it's about the 60s, coming out of the 50s, out of the beatnik era, and into the 60s. The Smothers Brothers. If you don't know about them or what have you, this is a unique comedy act. They are really brothers. And it's something to read about their careers. They're both still living, and I wish I could have them on this show. And it might be possible. Tommy and Dickie Smothers. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson. Okay, it says here, every serious writer dude in search of the truth you'll ever meet loves Thompson, man. The Gonzo Rolling Stone reporter. I'm going to tell you something about Hunter S. Thompson, although he did pioneer the word gonzo and gonzo journalism. This book, oddly enough, the movie was on, and I was seeing a bit of it before I came on to do the show. This is the one with, based on this book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, by him, Hunter S. Thompson, who was starring Johnny Depp, who, by the way, paid for a ceremony at Hunter Thompson's funeral, which was very expensive. But anyway, I don't know what to tell you. If you gotta read Hunter S. Thompson, get into the flow and the beat and the dynamics of his writing, and then you be the judge. I am not going to say anything about that. Going Too Far by Tony Hendra. He's a British humorist. We know him. This is Spinal Tap. He was in Going Too Far. I read a book by this guy, and it wasn't this. It was one about him growing up with a priest who really influenced him. A long time ago I read this book. Tony Hendra. I didn't read this, but he is, of course, certainly worth reading, because he wrote for Lampoon and various other places. Anti-establishment humor of the 20th century covers giants like Mort Saul, who we all know. And if you look up Mort Saul on Periscope, you can still watch Mort Saul do a stand-up, although he has to literally sit down because he's so old. All his facilities are there. He's worth watching, and I think you can only see him now on Periscope. So thank goodness for Periscope is not just open and will you go private and all the other stuff that makes up the trash of Periscope. Great Comedians Talk About Comedy by Larry Wilde. He's another guy. I remember Larry Wilde. This has got pieces in it about, what does he talk about? Decades before any took comedy seriously. He managed to get all the greats talking. Woody Allen, Jack Benny. Of course, Woody Allen comes from the... I don't know why Max Schulman is not... Now, I haven't seen one Max Schulman book yet, so... Oh, boy. I don't know. Okay. Johnny Carson and Phyllis Diller. Okay. Homie, Don't Play That, 2018 by David Pizer. He was in Living Color, downright revolutionary when it debuted. Fox did this one. Yeah, Pizer, I don't know him. He's a writer, but, he was a writer, TV writer, comedy, and there he is. I'm Dying Up Here by Willie, Nodal Sader. I don't, in 2009, this is also, Dying Up Here was a book. And, let me get rid of this guy. There's a very little spider. Some of these guys are so small, they're like microscopic spiders. Microscopic spiders are easy to say. Microscopic spiders, they're here every day. This guy, I'm Dying Up Here about stand-up comedians, right? From the Comedy Store. And again, here, you got Leno, Letterman, well, this is my time, those days. Kaufman, Richard Lewis, Robin Williams, okay. About the Comedy Store. Oh, okay. I lived through that, so I know. Letterman, The Last Giant of Late Night by David Zinoman, 2017. You want to read about Letterman? Go ahead. I don't know what to tell. I don't know what necessarily you'll learn. And I'm not, from the personal point of view, I now rescind myself. That's not, I recluse myself from talking about David Letterman. Is that the word? I want to be reclused from that. Shales and Miller. Live from New York, that's the story of Saturday Night Live. I don't know why that would have historic... I mean, it does have historic... Okay, that's that one, I don't know. Bill Zemme, Z-E-H-M-E, in 1999, wrote a book about Andy Kaufman. It's impossible to get into the mind and motivations of the late Andy Kaufman... But this guy makes a go of it with a biography of the comic. Did you see the movie, if you saw the movie, Jim Carrey was very good in that movie. Man in the Moon, or Man on the Moon? There's two movies, Man in the Moon, Man on the Moon, or what have you. This is a very, strange fellow. And I Lost in the Funhouse by Bill Zemme. I think at the time you would say it, Zemme. Mr. Mike by Dennis Perrin. Hey, this is only memoirs and maybe they're all, I don't know. They shouldn't get to fiction. This must be everything. I don't think this is just that category still. What other category would there be? Dennis Perrin, reverent, probing, extremely well-researched and often melancholy book. looks at the wildlife of Michael O'Donoghue, a founding writer of National Lampoon. Okay, Michael O'Donoghue, part of Doug Kenny School. And then he went on to be the head writer, first head writer of SNL. You know, if you read these stories of these people who were involved in Saturday Night Live from the beginning or around those areas of its development, you would probably be better than reading the history of Saturday Night Live, because I don't, you know, that there was one book there. I would go to the personal perspectives and memoirs of those people, because it puts flesh and blood onto it. Sometimes a history about a show or about a place or a time doesn't have flesh and blood because the person is a historian, may be a great writer, and it's more academic. When you get a perspective and a personal view from someone who was there and lived in that particular topic, then you get something that's a little bit more, I guess, human. I don't know what to say. As opposed to it being academic. Okay, there's just something I thought I'd say for you. How about Mel Watkin, 1994, On the Real Side. A comprehensive history of black humor in American pop culture. This is not black humor, like black comedy. It's a black comedy. This is black humor. African American humor. This looks at famous people from going way back. So this is good. This is good. This is a history. Again, I just talked about history. But no, this guy must know a lot about Mel Watkin. Talks about, because he goes well back, Burt Williams' Mom's Mabley, who had to explain who was Mom's Mabley to somebody who was someone I know Gen X, wasn't even, is that the one after Baby Boomers? Whatever, whoever. Red Fox, and then it goes on to Whoopi Goldberg and Eddie Murphy, but going way back, okay. Burt Williams, Step in, Fetch It. Hoy, ay, ay, this is good. I mean, it must be good. Mel Watkins probably did a great thing. Okay, SCTV by Dave Thomas. Just what I was talking about. Here's Dave Thomas writing about something he took part in, so you're going to get a human. So I just had to check my you know, I got to do everything, right? I could be my own engineer here too. And I got carried away there. Dave Thomas, of course, who worked with John Candy, Martin Short, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Rick Moranis, and did a whole bunch of stuff. Bob and Doug McKenzie, remember, with who? Oh, yeah, he did that with Rick Moranis. So he wrote a book, I didn't know, in 1996. It was not a big seller, I guess. This is $25, so maybe it's... Why? Cast members and production staff contribute stories in addition to photos. So there's plenty of, I guess that's why it's big, even, or long. How do you measure size in a digital book, right? If it's 250 pages, it's no different in dimension than a novella. 20,000 words, right? And if it has pictures, in other words, there are no coffee table books. Oh, wow, that's wild. I do know that, you know, if you buy Molotov Memoirs, you get the fabulous artwork of T. Stephen Gesick, who's now the art director on that TV show that people are going to binge upon. Binge on. Sounds like French. You binge on. T. Stephen Gesick did my art. And you see the artwork is great digitally. You can look at it, you know. On paper, it's great. And, okay, forget it. Anyway, SCTV by Dave Thomas, 1996. Show Me the Funny. Peter Desberg. I got a feeling that's Desberg or something. And Jeffrey Davis, 2011. Well, okay, Cassessi, read this before you write your spec script. Ooh. The title is dated to the late 90s, but the interviews inside with old school comedy writers are a timeless look at what makes funny television things funny. Included are guys who wrote TV comedy, both highbrow, lowbrow, and in between. Leonard Stern, Peter Casey, Phil Rosenthal. Leonard Stern, Get Smart. Well, that'd be good, right? Everybody loves Raymond? Phil Rosenthal? Okay, right. Brady Bunch. Anyway, there's a, so read this stuff. Okay, there you go. So some of this is educational. It's not just, okay, Judd Apatow wrote a book in 2015 called Sick in the Head, long before he made himself one of the most important comedy creators in film and TV. Say these reviewers, Apatow interviewed comedians for his high school radio station. He booked guests like Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno, Gary Shandling, and stuff, and other people, including one I won't mention. Sick in the Head is a series of those old interviews. Jug. Conversations about life and comedy. The Comedians by Cliff Nesteroff. That's K-L-I-P-H. Am I saying that right? Cliff Nesteroff. One of the great podcast classic showbiz. He has a great classic showbiz is his podcast. And we've been around long before him, and we've had many people on, too, that weren't. But, hey, okay, come on, maybe it's good. He conducted tons of his own interviews and blah, blah, blah. That's as much as we're giving him for that. The Daily Show in Oral History by Chris Smith. Again, it's well over 400 pages long. See, and how are you going to measure it if it's a digital? I don't know. They go fast. They go quickly. Picture of John Stewart on the top. The Late Shift by Bill Carter. This is the story of the battle between Jay Leno and David Letterman. This is a, I don't know, and I don't know. If you want to read about the Tonight Show following Johnny Carson's rule up until 1992, then this is an ego. It's a story of, I don't know. Just, if you want to read about that, fine. The Late Shift. I don't necessarily think this would be something that should be on your comedy library, but they do. Or if you want to know it exists, there you go. We Killed: The Rise of Women in American Comedy by Yael Cohen. And that's Cohen with a K, not like Shelley Cohen, speaking of The Tonight Show, who was on this show a couple of weeks ago, whose name is C-O-H-E-N. I don't know why they have a C or a K. This is, you know, we're still trying to get comedy to be a more inclusive world and to include more voices of color and women at all levels. In We Killed, Cohen looks at the history of women in comedy and other forms. I guess this goes way back, and it does. Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller, and many others to the past. Okay, so it's not, I don't know, Phyllis Diller? Ever, I think she may have written a book, too, but I don't know if it's here. A Land of Hooey, 2014, Bob Odenkirk? He's so good on Better Call Saul. I've never seen it, so I don't know anything about it. So I don't know. He's worked on Mr. Show, the Ben Stiller Show. Didn't even know there was one. SNL and, okay, fine. His name is Bob Odenkirk. You know him and you love him and you can't live without him, get his book. If you have it, if you read it, forget about it. Almost Completely Baxter by Glenn Baxter. A New Yorker cartoon collection. So this guy wrote, he did cartoons for the New Yorker. They don't all get to print. Okay, there you go. America the Book by the writers of The Daily Show. Yeah, that was, I don't know if that did as well as people thought it did. And when it came out in 2004, The Golden Age of The Daily Show. I don't know. You want to? Go ahead. But remember, you're looking for things that are really essential. That's what I say you are looking for. You know what you're looking for. But I just want to encourage, go back. Go back. Coyote versus Acme. I did not know this book existed, but I got a feeling. Ian Fraser, in 1996, wrote a great book. Let me tell you something else, too, even though it's going to cost you in titles because I have to do an aside. The aside is this. There are many great books that you don't know they're great, and you can't measure them by the fact that they were bestsellers or they were by people you knew or loved or laughed about. But there are many comedy and humor books out there that never got the exposure they deserved. And I'm not gonna bring myself up here, because, you know, even though I'm the only one who would, and may let somebody else do that if they really think so. But what I'm trying to say is that these books still exist now, and the digital format has allowed so many more books to stay alive, as opposed to go out of print and then just fall into wherever they fall. I don't know, the dirty old used bookshops, which are not, they're sprinkled lightly across the world, right? If you could even keep them, you know, going. Probably have to have a laundry. That would be good. Hey, laundry and used bookshop. There's an idea for somebody who wants to sink a lot of money into a local business. Huh? And then you're going to have to get all these books, and nobody will say, like, I don't want it anyway, because people don't want old analog books or people who clean their own clothes or whatever. But look, they listen to this. I didn't know about this. Coyote V versus, V obviously means versus. Coyote referring, of course, to Wile E. Coyote, the Warner Brothers cartoon, and the Roadrunner, and their perennial, what are they? Hero, villain, their perennial chase of Wile E. Coyote to catch, the Roadrunner. This says, Coyote v. Acme gets its title from a piece Frazier wrote in the New Yorker detailing cartoon genius Wile E. Coyote's vast correspondence and legal proceedings with the Acme Corporation, manufacturer of many of the faulty products of unsuccessfully used to catch the Roadrunner. That's the subject of one of many pop culture oriented funny essays in this book, which also includes Frazier's hot take on Ode to Billy Joe, which I don't know if you know that song, and Don Johnson. So there's a lot of funny. Again, he's a New Yorker love child. I don't even know what I mean by that. He's a golden boy, let's say. And you could be a golden girl too, because there's the golden boy writer of the New Yorker. But I'm sure there's a lot of funny stuff in here you never would have read had you not listened to this show or found out about it or read about it anywhere else, or someone who was in comedy didn't tell you. But I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this because you know this, because if you've ever been on this show with me and a comic, and I've had many younger comics on, okay, and that is, go back, read all you can, learn all you can about the stuff that happened before your lifetime. Don't let comedy start. Just like if you're writing serious stuff, you know, you don't start with Fletcher Nebel. And there's a name you wouldn't even know, but I mean, that's like, you got to go back, way back. And I applaud these writers for having some of this stuff. But I have not seen Max Schulman here yet. And I could do a whole show on him, and I might. I might do a whole show on him. I got to take these glasses off, and yet I can't read. Really hurts. Okay, here's the one I was going to mention when I told you about that other book. But Steve Martin of Steve Martin's. Steve Martin's book in 1979, Cruel Shoes. Okay, Cruel Shoes is a book that he wrote, and he probably found himself loving writing by writing this book. But, you know, they came to him and they said, for God's sakes, you are the biggest thing going. Here, write some books. And I don't know how many more he wrote. A couple, I think, of that were strictly these commercial comedy books. It's like, hey, Steve Martin book. You like Steve Martin? I love Steve Martin. I'm going to go buy his book. It says here, as they wrote in this book, the Donald Glover of the 1970s, in that he did everything amazingly and perfectly, according to them. He was filling stadiums, okay, movie, and he was also writing collections of very funny essays. Nowadays, you aren't really a comedian unless you put out a thin volume of funny essays. Listen to this, because this is what I told you before, and these writers are now saying it, okay, because of comedians who get books. It says, you aren't really a comedian unless you put out a thin volume of funny essays. But in the 70s, few beyond Woody Allen and Steve Martin deigned to do so. But wait a second, hold on. They got it by name. Don't think if Steve Martin was just a writer, you wouldn't be as rich or famous or anything right now as he is, because he was a performer and a comedian too, okay? But, so don't think that whoever this came from, a Penguin or a Penguin and Schuster or Schuster and Penguin or a Penguin and Lipphauser or whatever, don't think they didn't do it, because this is what they did. They ran to him, I'm telling you. Okay, it's worth a read, even though it has a lot of material you know about. The title piece isn't the, and it, you know. Anyway, if you get a hold of that, you could thumb through it. How to Sharpen Pencils by David Rees. Don't know it. 2012. Who is this guy? Talk about commitment. Humor doesn't always result from jokes or situation, but scope or concept. Comedy writer on Get Your War On. Don't know it. Don't know it, but maybe you do. David Rees. Is that R-E-E-S? Yes, R-E-E-S. Stephen Colbert wrote a book called I Am America, and So Can You. See, with this parody of right-wing cable news programs that he did on his show. And then, what is this? I don't know. Highlights of the book? I don't know. Proudly grammatically incorrect title. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, that's still available. I would never pay $10 anyway for that, but you can. Amy Sedaris wrote a book called I Like You. Amy Sedaris. We saw another book of hers before. Strangers with Candy? Oh, that was a... Yes, now I know her. Okay, I remember that weird little show. This is a book by Amy Sedaris called I Like You. Okay. Our Dumb Century by the editors of The Onion. Okay, you can, you know, The Onion, I don't know anything about The Onion other than if you're a comedian, they don't take material, so forget it. Move on. Science for Her by Megan Amran, 2014. I don't know. We're really getting close to the end now, so I'm $8 at Amazon. This is what, okay, a character. It's a despicable human being, a dangerous, self-destructive nightmare. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, okay, you might want to look into that. Seinfeldia by Jennifer Armstrong. Many books will be written about Seinfeld. Really? Many? As it was a great sitcom and then made TV comedy great again. Okay, but this is what? Among the Urban. Okay, what does it say? Armstrong? Jennifer Armstrong has the best take possible on this particular world. She dives deep into the show's history and the mythology of the show's huge universe, obsessing over the minutiae of the show as if it were, she were a Seinfeld character. Well, I got news for you. If she hasn't, if she doesn't talk about the Abbott and Costello, two seasons of the Abbott and Costello show, from the 50s in this book, then I think she's well off. But I don't know, and I can't tell you unless she sees it. Unless you see it. But anyway. Seinfeld, I didn't know there was such a... Simon Rich, Spoiled Brats, 2014. He's the youngest writer of SNL history. Okay, so there you go. And we'll bet you got that one. Stats Canada, 2013. We're still way up here. So this is for a lot of you youngsters. This is from Kids in the Hall. This guy? Okay, new kids in... Was that Kids in the Hall? I don't know. I don't know his name. I probably know him if I see him, but anyway. The 1964 High School Yearbook Parody by National Lampoon. I've talked in the past about National Lampoon parodies. This is not the one I would suggest. I suggest the one about if John Kennedy had not been assassinated, if John Kennedy had lived to be president, what would have happened to the world based on Camelot, the imagery, and everything else that went along with the Kennedys if there was not that tragedy. It is one of the funniest volumes of columns of journalistic parody I have ever read. And I wish I could get my hands on it again. I don't know how to. Where, but they have, apparently this year is, what is $20 for this? Maybe if you go to eBay, somebody has a copy of that one. I would say that one before the 1964 High School Yearbook. And you're not going to find that on here either. John Hodgman, you know him from The Tonight Show, The Late Show, The Daily Show, The Every Show, The All Show, The Night Show, The Midnight Show, The Daily Show, The Weekend Show. The Nightly Show, that was a good show. Areas of My Expertise. John Hodgman's a pretty funny guy, and you may enjoy this, although I don't know if you'll be, it's laugh out loud funny. The Collected Dorothy Parker is a must. Dorothy Parker, this came out in 2001, but she is known for some of the greatest and funniest and most intelligently funny quotes of all time. She was a member of the Algonquin Roundtable. That's what I was saying, the Algonquin crew. The Algonquin Roundtable, I mentioned P.J. Wodehouse because we had the P.J. Wodehouse book. I'm going to stop to tell you about this one because she is always worth reading. She, let's see, a progressive humorist who was way ahead of her time. I hate to use that phrase. As my son Ray said, to be ahead of your time means that what you're, is that you're not so, I forgot. I gotta quote him. I can't even quote my own son. It says here, for instance, often quoted, and here's a quote from Dorothy Parker. I've never been a millionaire, but I just know I'd be darling at it. Unquote. Her flashes of brilliant and acerbic wit are all over the place. In this book of her poems, essays, her poems are great too. Funny, funny, wonderful lady. I didn't know her, what have you, but that's a must. See, even though it came out in 2001, it's about someone back there, okay? That's $14 on Amazon. Wait a second. That's it? That wasn't 90? Was that 90? Holy, did I just do 90? Listen to me. I did it. That was 90? I should count them, right? 1, 2, 3. I don't know. That's amazing. I'm disappointed, but I'll tell you what I will do if you want to, or maybe I'll get some comedians on again. I got Ben Noll needs to come on again. It's been a long time since Ben Noll's been on. He said he would be on. I can get him on Skype, and I'll get him too. Ben Noll is a smart, bright, young writer, comedy writer, and comedian. And I don't know what else he does. but, you know, he's a cool guy. And we'll get him on. We should talk about influences and books and see how far back he's gone, because he's a millennial. Yeah, he's a millennial. I forgot what they called. Oh, the iGen. iGen. That's, oh boy. My name is Frank Atolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. That was 90 books every comedy fan should read. It says, but I gotta tell you, some are missing, but we'll go into those. Maybe I'll come up with my top 10 and we'll get some comedian people to come up with their top 10. And then we'll just do shows and talk about those things for all you comedians out there, or wannabe comedians, or people who want to write humor, or people who think they're humorous, or people who write jokes. I got all this stuff going. My name is Frank Atolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show, which is rapidly disintegrating. Disintegrating? No, it's rapidly coming to an end. I will tell you now that this show and what we, the books we talked about there, was brought, this show is, and this particular show, as is every show, but I don't do it this way, brought to you by, as it says on CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, which is the blog where you find out what's going on with us weekly, sometimes. Anyway, it's there. Oh, but my books. Yeah, but it's brought to you by books, not all of which are comedy. Sweet Shepherd, probably the best-selling book I have at Amazon. It's a series book. It's a short book. It's a novella, and it's very good, and it has some very good reviews, and people enjoy it. And it really does address the disparity between a baby boomer and a near millennial, or whatever, a young person, from different planets. And it's a romance, and you'll like it, I think. A lot of people seem to like it. Good reviews. Go to review it. When you talk about funny books, of course, you have Man of La Mancha. Again, read Man of La Mancha. It's a quick read. It's a funny read. I know, and you'll read about it there, too, but it also plays upon the classic and what was one of these 90 books. That was 90? Don Quixote. Okay? What's the other? Isn't another funny one on there? Well, of course, there's License to Skill. And you could go read, License to Skill is a novel, not a novella. And it is laugh out loud funny. And the thing about that I really am proud to say, although I don't have a lot of pride in me, but proud to say about License to Skill is that it was given reviews by punch-up artists and various people, because it was it's still in the mix to be a screenplay, which was co-written by Peggy Robinson, who is the wife of T. Stephen Gessick, who did the artwork in my other books. License to Skill is laugh out loud funny, says a number of these punch-up artists and a number of other people from Hollywood who enjoy it, enjoyed the script and the book. Okay, and it has been given to be likened. It is likened, it has been likened to the Algonquin, Dorothy Parker, Wodehouse, other stuff. And of course, Max Schulman, who's not there, but not in that, of that opening. But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, go buy them. You know, they're cheap. You read them on your phone, and you have a couple of laughs. There's a couple of books I have there. Read them. There's one more, too. Japan never came out, so we'll figure about that some other time. In the meantime, in between time, next week, hopefully, August, Olivia Olympia LaPointe. And on any other people who might be on, because we got them. Thanks to people like Erwin Zucker, who help us out, and other people like Jiggy Jaguar and everything else. Go read everybody's book and do what you got to do, okay? It's a tough life, but somebody's got to lead it. I told you I'd get you through this. I got you through it. We're here now at the end, and we're cooking with gas. I want you all to be very happy people. And, you know, and enjoy when you're not happy too, because things like that happen. Get the books. What else can you get? Oh, 148.ca. Speaking of, short essays and funny little things that, I guess fall into the Onion, types, humor, journal, funny journalism and what have you, and copy and fake. Mad Magazine, Cracked Magazine type humor from back then. You can go clean, 148.ca/Frank. Every week for the last couple of years, a new one. Oh, ding. There goes that thing again. There goes the thing again. Doing what a thing again. Where will I be? I will be all around here, there, and everywhere. And, I don't know what else to tell you, other than that. That was 90? 90? Did you really do 90? I kept waiting for certain books to come up, and they didn't. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Tell everyone you know, that we're still here, and we'll be here until forbid. Go on. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I'm just going to walk into the next moment, now that I've got you through all of these moments. Walk into the next moment. Hold your head up high. Take a look at the sun. Did I say goodnight to Mrs. Ernstwhile? if you buy License to Skill, you'll find out about Mrs. Ernstwhile. All right. We've talked enough about this, that, and the other thing. So, I'll leave you. Wish you the best and getting through the worst. But right now, I have nothing more to say.